I want to talk about words today. Did you know that words have power? And Uncle Ben said to Spider-Man, with great power comes great response. No, okay. No, but the reality is with great power comes great responsibility, and our words have power, and we often use them very irresponsibly. Truth? Truth. I want to read to you a scripture from James chapter 1, verses 22 to 26. We're going to talk about the power of words, and we're going to find out that words have power on a lot of different levels. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, some of you are like, well, I relate to that. I wish I could forget what I look like. You know, okay, we're not talking about that. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Wow. It's interesting that James kind of changes gears because he starts talking about the word of God, about what God says, and how it's important that when we hear God's word, when we read God's word, we do it, we put it into practice. And then he kind of goes into this thing about now if you don't control your tongue and you think you're a religious person, I got news for you. I mean, that's what the message says. No. Actually, I'm reading from the New Living right now. But so it's interesting that we talk about God's words first, and then we end talking about our words and what we say. So let's talk about a couple truths. Now, you get your notes there from the bulletin. You can fill those in. Does anybody need a pen? We can get you a pen if you need one. Everybody okay? Jim's back there. He can go get you a pen. Oh, wait. No, it's not going to work. Not today. All right. First truth is this. The first thing that we learn in this passage is that, number one, God's word has power. And when we talk about God's word, a lot of times we mean the Bible, but even deeper than that, God's words have power. God's word has power. God's words have power. And we're told in Genesis that God said, let there be light. And when God says it, it just kind of is. Okay, so we know that. God's word is truth. God's word has power. God's words have power. But I want to focus on another verse that kind of builds on what James begins to talk about with our tongue and our words. We're going to talk a little bit about the power of God's word, but we're also going to talk a little bit the power of your words, the power of my words. So let's move on. James chapter 3, verse 1. He says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly." After this, we're going to see if anybody wants to volunteer to be. No, okay, it's fine. "Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues." Now get this. "If we could control our tongues, we'd be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way." Is he suggesting that if you can control your tongue, that it's a piece of cake to control pretty much everything else in your life? Yes, he is suggesting that. And you say, oh, that's oversimplifying. Try controlling your tongue and you tell me that. You've been at those dinner table conversations with relatives where you said, I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm not. Oh, yeah? And what comes up? Politics. "We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a forest on fire." And many of us have seen that in real life. A tiny spark. "The tongue is like that. The tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body." This is pretty heavy stuff. "It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." Okay, let's pray. I'm going to let you go home now. No, I'm just, we'll try to end on some hopeful note. "People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, except for cats, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless," maybe a tongue is like a cat. Because you can't, okay. No one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so, blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Surely. Does a spring of water bubble out both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or grapevine produce figs? No, you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. I would dare say that if you went to a spring and sometimes you got salty water and bitter water and sometimes you got fresh, would you even bother with that spring? Probably not. Probably not. Here's the second truth. Okay, look, it's clear. And we'll talk a little more about it. God's word has power. God's words have power. The second truth I want you to understand today is our words have power as well. Maybe not as much as God's, but much, much more power than we often realize. Your words have power, and a lot more power than you know. And you're hoping what I'm saying isn't the truth, but you know it is. I'll prove it to you. The writer of Proverbs in chapter 18, verse 20, says this: wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Write that on a piece of paper, stick it on your fridge or in your pocket, and meditate on that this week. Wow. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. You ever had that moment where you realize, I think I've just said too much? Oh. Wish I could go take that back. And you can't. And the great power was lost because of a lack of responsibility. Let me try to illustrate to you why our words have power. Let's fill in a few more blanks together. Let's go on to the next slide. Okay, four things that I want you to focus on here. What we can do with our words. This is what we are able to do. Okay, and I'm going to give you the positive and the negative here. The first thing that our words, we see our words do, our words can tear people down and hurt them. We know that. Our words can tear people down and hurt them. You've done it, and it's happened to you. Okay, you've been hurt by words. You've hurt people with words. The second thing, and maybe you know this, but this seems to be harder for us to do because it's easier to do the first. The second thing is our words can encourage people and build them up. Okay, that's good to know. Now, it's better if we don't have to use the second because we've done the first. I mean, I really want to be a person that encourages. And I mean, that's what the word encourage literally means, is to build up. For the longest time, I thought the word Lego. How many of you like to play with Legos? Any kids here? Okay, Johnny does. Joey does. How many of you even know what they are? You know, little building blocks. They stick together. You can bake stuff out of them. You know, yeah, anyway. I always thought the word Lego, I learned in when I was at Bible college in Greek class, the word Lego means word or to say. Then I found out it was Danish for play well. So I was like, well, there goes my illustration. But anyway, I had this great picture of using Legos to build things up and how our words encourage and build up. And I find that it was a Danish word that meant something totally different. So my illustration, well, fell apart, like when the kid comes in and breaks all the Legos. Anyway, so our words, though, are meant to encourage and build up. And we can use them to encourage and build up instead of tearing down and hurting people. There's a whole other level here that we don't often consider about the spiritual realm that we don't see. Did you know that the world is built on spiritual laws, and whether you believe in the spirit realm or not, there are still things that happen because we break those spiritual laws or we fulfill those spiritual laws? By our words, we literally give Satan permission to wreak havoc in our lives. When you go around and you speak negativity, and this isn't superstition, this is a spiritual reality. Well, that's probably not going to happen. and it doesn't happen. See? A lot of times we speak our own reality into existence. Earlier in the week, I posted a quote from Job when Job says, "That which I greatly fear has come upon me." Often we are guilty of causing the things that we fear to come upon us by literally speaking them into existence because we have given the enemy permission to come into our lives and do the very thing that we're afraid of. We've got to be careful. And that might seem like hocus pocus, that might seem a little superstitious, but on the same token, the flip side of that, by our words, we give God permission to do his awesome work in us and through us. It's kind of like we have the deciding vote. You know, those little pictures in the cartoons, you know, where you've got the Donald Duck and he's got the little, you know, devil Donald on his shoulder and the angel Donald on the other. It seems kind of silly, but there's a certain element of truth to that when it comes to the spiritual realm. I can start the day in a positive mood and speak positive things. And when positive things happen, a lot of times it's happened because I haven't really entertained the negative idea. Satan's waiting around for you to basically say, give him permission to do whatever garbage he wants to do in your life. And when you give him that permission, he's like, yes, now I can come in and wreak all kinds of havoc. And God's standing there saying, I want permission to come into your life and do the stuff that I want to do. I'm just waiting for you to say the words. I want you to think about this, because when we go back to Proverbs and it says the power of death and life are in the tongue, yes, my tongue can bring death and life to people, but my tongue can bring death and life to my very situation. So when we condemn something, when we use foul language and use words to literally damn a situation in our life, we wonder why everything goes badly. Because our words have power, believe it or not. And we have an enemy that's against us and a God who is for us, and we are the deciding vote. And often what we say has consequences. So we tear people down, we hurt them, we encourage them, we build them up. We give the enemy permission to come and do all kinds of bad stuff, on purpose or not. You know, it's one of those things, if you are a person that has a tendency to speak negatively, I would encourage you to learn to stop that. It's not like denying reality. Look, a lot of you find yourself in situations that are hard and they're tough. And you don't have to deny what the truth of what's going on around you, but you can deny the enemy's right to be there. Say, God, I need your help. You know, a lot of this is kind of like praying. Am I praying to God, or am I limiting God? Am I quenching the Holy Spirit's power by just saying, I suppose we're all going to die now? You know, I mean, just be careful. Be really careful, because we have an enemy that's looking for opportunities. And our attitude and what we say has a whole lot more power and a whole lot more effect on our circumstances than I think any of us realize a lot of times. You take that for what it's worth. If you don't believe me, that's fine. Go ahead and speak negatively all week and tell me how great your week went. I don't think it'll go very well. James 1, 19 through 20. Here's a warning. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. When we allow our anger and our feelings to affect what we say, we tear people down around us. We hurt people around us. And again, we say things that we later regret because we're giving the enemy permission to do stuff in our lives that he shouldn't have permission to do. Did you know the enemy really only can do in your life what you allow him to do and what you give him permission to do? Truth. Truth. Back years ago when Bram Stoker, the author, wrote the original gothic fiction vampire novel, and this is before, you know, Twilight and My Babysitter's a Vampire and all these things. Anyway, when he wrote the original novel, Dracula, as a morality tale about the power of the spiritual enemy, Satan, he established something in the mythology of vampires that I find very interesting. He said the vampire could never enter your house unless you gave him permission. That's kind of interesting. So you have this this evil being with power that for some reason can't even enter your house unless you invite him in. And the reality is that Bram Stoker was trying to make an illustration about how Satan works in our lives. And how if we'd never let him in the first place, he wouldn't be able to do all the stuff that he does. But we made the mistake of inviting him in and thus give him the power in our lives that he shouldn't even have. He gets the foot in the door and then everything kind of goes kaput. And I don't know if kaput is spelled with a K or a C, but doesn't matter because it all leads to the same mess. Strategies for choosing your words. Now, this particularly applies to you're having a conversation. You need to know what to say. You want to make sure you say the right thing. This can apply to what you say in those moments of weakness. But here's the strategy. Number one, stop. Now, if you just did the first step, that could avert about two-thirds of the conflict in your life. Maybe more, right? Number two, think. I know this is revolutionary. Before you say it, stop. Before you say it, think. The second thing, I can't even count. The third thing, ask yourself this question. Now, this one's a little bit longer. Is what I'm about to say something that will ultimately build up or tear down? On a related note, is what I'm about to say something that will give God permission to do something in my life or basically wave at Satan and say, you who over here, see this bullseye on my forehead? I'm fresh meat. Yeah. Number four, think again. I know it's hard. Number five, think again. No, number five, pray. After you've stopped and after you've thunk, is that a word? And after you've ultimately asked yourself, is this going to be something that's going to have a positive effect or a negative effect? After you've thunk again, and after you've prayed, if now you still think it needs to be said, by all means. You know, just if you go through this process, you could stop a lot of garbage in your life. I believe it. So you're like, okay, I need to learn to control my tongue because maybe I've hurt people. I need to learn to control my tongue because I speak all kinds of negativity and then all this negativity happens. I wonder if there's a connection. Maybe. So here's a strategy this morning for learning how to control your tongue. Here's the strategy. Here's the news. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 12. Are you ready? Okay, the baby's ready. All right. You brood of snakes. That's how Jesus talks to people he's trying to be friendly with. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? He's talking to the Pharisees here. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Okay, this is kind of an indirect response here to the fixing the problem. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Understand, I'm trying to kind of talk about this on two levels. The words that we say that affect people directly and the words that we say that inadvertently have an effect on our circumstances. So here's the strategy. Realize, number one, that what you say reflects what's stored up inside of you. What you say is a reflection of what is stored up. There's no way around that. What you speak and say quickly in those moments when you're weak reflects very clearly what you've been storing in your heart. And you say, oh, that's oversimplifying it. No, because here are some other translations of the same verse. New King James, Jesus puts it this way. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in your heart in abundance, that's what you say. The next one, for out of the fullness or the overflow or the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amplified. Or from the NIV, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. What's it full of? If what you speak is garbage, it's full of garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. I'm sorry if that seems like it's oversimplifying, but the truth is, I'm not going to be able to control my tongue. When we go back to what James says, nobody can control the tongue. If I say, I'm going to control my tongue, I'm going to control my tongue, I'm going to control my tongue, I'm going to fail. But if I go to the root of the issue and say, I'm going to control what goes into my heart, that's going to affect what my tongue says. So, I mean, it's not like a quick fix, you know. I mean, if I've been pouring junk into my heart for years, it's time to do some cleaning out. I need to start putting the good in, the positive. You know, Paul talks about focusing whatever things are noble and pure and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. If I want to know that what my mouth says for sure is going to build up people, if I want to know that what my mouth says for sure is going to speak words of life and health and give God permission to come in and do what he wants to do instead of tearing people down and inadvertently painting a bullseye on myself and saying, Satan, I'm over here, take aim, fire, have fun with that. I need to make sure that what is in my heart in abundance, in overflow, is good, so that what I speak is good. The truth is, if God's word is powerful and God's words are powerful and I put those in my heart, then the words that I speak will be whose words? God's. How much better is that? What your action step is this week is this. Continue to or begin the process of filling your heart and mind with God's word so that your words will be a reflection of his. That might seem a little anticlimactic, but it's the most practical way that I can encourage you to learn to control what you say. And this will help you with what you say to people. This will help you with what you say about your situation. This will help you in those weak moments when you're tempted maybe to condemn a situation or a person or to curse. Instead of that, I've been filling my heart with God's word. And what comes out of my mouth is something positive, something uplifting, something that will build others up, something that will invoke God's presence or God's spirit into my situation, because you know the life that we live is tricky enough. It's hard enough. It's challenging enough. I don't need to make it worse by just saying all kinds of garbage. But sometimes we can't help it because all we've been filling ourselves with is garbage. And maybe not on purpose. I mean, you know, if you're around a whole lot of negative people, it affects you. If you watch a lot of negative stuff on TV, it affects you. If you listen to a lot of negative music, it affects you. You know, we try to say it doesn't, but it does. You know, and the philosophy from the music and the philosophy from the movies and the philosophy, you know, or just the knowledge from the news. Yay, news. You know, or the negativity and the gossip from where you work. It kind of wears you down, it beats you down, and you're like a bucket and people are walking by and throwing garbage and garbage and garbage, and the next thing you know, the garbage is overflowing, kind of like in your bathroom or in your kitchen. Why is there garbage coming over the edge? It's because it's full of garbage. I want my words to be a reflection of, I want them to be positive. I want them to be encouraging. I want them to build people up. I want them to be prayers that go up to the Lord and say, God, I need help with this situation, and I believe that you can do all things. And the only way that's going to happen is if my heart is overflowing with that kind of truth. I hope you walk away from here and you don't walk away and you have that kind of like sigh that goes, because if you do, then I've done a poor job. Because I want you to go away and think, I could do this. I could make this work. I could open my Bible up this week and I could read I could read the words of Christ, and I could read God's word, and I could soak this in, and I could, and then maybe it'll affect what I say. Maybe it will help me to control my tongue, because I can't control my tongue, but God can control my tongue. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for everybody here today. This is important, God. I know this is more important than a lot of us realize, the power of our words. But your word is all powerful. Your word is what brought life into existence. Your word is what brought light to ours. And I pray, Father, as we fill our hearts with your truth and with your words, that instead of gravitating towards negativity and tearing down and hurting, instead, as your word overflows from our heart, God, we speak words of encouragement, words of wisdom, words of building up, and words that give you the authority in our lives to come and do what it is that you desire to do, not words that allow the enemy anywhere near us. Maybe, Lord, this seems overly simplified. Maybe it seems like it can't be that easy. I don't know why we'd think that, because we know how hard it is to control our tongue. I know, God, that we just need to focus on the right thing. Indirectly, by filling our heart with your truth. I pray, God, that you would underline the importance of your word as our source of life, so that our hearts may overflow with your truth, and we might speak only what honors you and what builds up others. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, look at the person next to you and say, well, I'm sure not going to try to control your tongue, so good luck with that. All right. God bless. Have a great week.